This post summarizes Claire Ainsworth's 2026 game-changing New Scientist article, The Secret Signals Our Organs Send to Repair Tissues and Slow Aging. Interorgan communication. It's all connected. The human body has long been understood to coordinate its functions through two principal communication channels, the nervous system and the endocrine system, the hormonal system. However, research emerging from the new field of interorgan communication is fundamentally revising this picture. Scientists are now discovering that organs engage in a rich, multidirectional web of crosstalk that extends far beyond what nerves and hormones alone can account for. The signals involved include specialized proteins, metabolites, RNA fragments, and, most surprisingly, tiny membrane-bound packages called extracellular vesicles, EVs, that physically transport molecular cargo from one organ to another. This field builds on the older physiological idea that organ systems are interconnected, but what is extraordinary about recent discoveries is the sheer scope and complexity of these conversations. Rather than a simple top-down command structure originating in the brain or a handful of endocrine glands, virtually every organ and tissue appears to participate as both sender and receiver in an ongoing, body-wide dialogue. These communication networks influence everything from bone density and fat metabolism to brain function, immune regulation, and the pace of biological aging itself. By understanding and eventually tapping into these communication networks, researchers believe it may be possible to develop radical new therapies for conditions ranging from osteoporosis and obesity to neurodegenerative diseases and the multimorbidity that characterizes old age. The post profiles several key researchers and highlights discoveries spanning multiple organ systems, each contributing pieces to a picture of the body as an astonishingly coordinated collective. Bone and the skeletal system. Bone as a signaling organ. One of the biggest surprises to emerge from interorgan communication research is the recognition that bone is not merely a passive mechanical scaffold supporting the body. Instead, the skeleton functions as a dynamic endocrine organ that sends signals to a wide array of other tissues and organs. This reconceptualization of bone began gaining traction in the mid-1990s, when researchers first discovered that certain tissues previously considered inert were actually producing and releasing signaling molecules that could influence distant organs. Bone produces the hormone osteocalcin, which has been found to exert effects on multiple organ systems. Osteocalcin influences metabolism and fertility in ways that were entirely unsuspected until relatively recently. Perhaps most remarkably, osteocalcin signals even reach the brain, where research has shown that it reduces anxiety. This means that the skeleton, long seen as structurally important but biochemically passive, is in fact participating in the regulation of mood and cognitive function through chemical messengers it actively secretes into the bloodstream. Why bone communicates so extensively? The skeleton's involvement in so many interorgan conversations is attributed to the enormous energetic cost of maintaining and repairing bone tissue. The body must continuously repair tiny fractures caused by everyday mechanical stress, and this constant turnover requires substantial metabolic resources. According to Gerard Carsoni at Columbia University in New York, this is precisely why bone has evolved such a prominent role as a signaling hub. Because bone is so metabolically demanding, it needs to maintain active communication with other organs that supply it with energy and nutrients, and in return it sends out signals that coordinate broader metabolic processes. Interactions between bone and fat. A key example of bone's interorgan communication involves its relationship with adipose tissue, fat tissue. Fat communicates with bone through the hormone leptin. In 2002, researchers discovered that fat tissue, via leptin signaling, functions as a major regulator of bone mass. This fat-to-bone signaling pathway helps explain why changes in body composition, such as significant weight loss or gain, can have profound effects on skeletal health. The bidirectional nature of this relationship means that interventions targeting one system inevitably affect the other, a consideration that has important implications for treating conditions like osteoporosis, particularly in populations with metabolic disorders or obesity. Therapeutic implications. Osteoporosis treatment. The discovery of interorgan signaling pathways involving bone has opened up new avenues for treating skeletal diseases. A 2018 study demonstrated that certain signals involved in bone-organ crosstalk can be blocked or jammed using existing blood pressure medications. This finding is significant because it suggests that drugs already approved for other purposes might be repurposed to treat osteoporosis by interrupting harmful signaling patterns between organs. The broader implication is that osteoporosis may not simply be a disease of bone itself, but rather a breakdown in the communication networks that maintain skeletal health, and that restoring or modulating those networks could be a more effective therapeutic strategy than targeting bone in isolation. Fat and adipose tissue. Fat as a communicating organ. Fat tissue, once regarded as little more than an inert energy storage depot, is now understood to be a highly active endocrine organ. It secretes a variety of signaling molecules, collectively known as adipokines, that influence organs throughout the body. The hormone leptin, produced by fat cells, is one of the best characterized adipokines and plays a key role in regulating bone mass, appetite, and energy balance. Obesity and extracellular vesicle signaling. Research has revealed that obesity exerts many of its harmful systemic effects through extracellular vesicles released by adipose tissue. These EVs carry molecular cargo, including proteins, lipids, and small RNA molecules that can alter the behavior of cells and distant organs. Obesity-related EVs have been implicated as a communication pathway through which excess fat tissue contributes to metabolic dysfunction elsewhere in the body. One particularly concerning finding is that EVs released from fat tissue in obese individuals are emerging as an important factor in the development of liver disease caused by metabolic dysfunction. Previously known as non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, NAFLD, this condition is now understood to involve active signaling from adipose tissue to the liver via EVs, which can reprogram liver cells and promote inflammation, fibrosis, and other pathological changes. This underscores the idea that obesity is not merely a local problem of excess fat storage, but a systemic communication disorder with far-reaching consequences for multiple organ systems. Brain and the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus as a longevity controller. The brain, particularly the hypothalamus, occupies a central position in interorgan communication networks related to aging. Shinichiro Imai and his colleagues at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, have been working to understand aging as a multi-layered phenomenon that spans from the molecular level through cells, tissues, and organs. Imai's perspective emphasizes the need to understand the whole system from the molecular layer through the cellular layer, tissue layer, and organ layer in order to grasp how aging unfolds. In 2024, Imai's group published a landmark finding showing that a particular subset of hypothalamic neurons plays a critical role in controlling lifespan. When they stimulated these specific neurons in old mice, the mice lived longer than control mice that did not receive this stimulation. This was described as the first demonstration in mammals that manipulation of specific neurons can genuinely delay aging and extend lifespan. The finding positions the hypothalamus not merely as a regulator of homeostasis, as has long been understood, but as a master controller of the aging process itself, one that integrates signals from multiple organ systems to coordinate biological decline or maintenance. Multi-organ communication management. The hypothalamus receives signals from multiple organs, including skeletal muscle and the small intestine, among others. In unpublished work referenced in the article, researchers have been mapping these incoming communication pathways to understand how the brain integrates information from diverse organ sources. Each of these communication pathways operates independently, but synergistically to maintain the overall system's robustness, according to Imai. He envisions a therapeutic approach he calls multi-organ communication management, which would involve simultaneous interventions designed to strengthen each of the brain-organ conversations that deteriorate with age. Rather than targeting a single pathway or organ, this approach would aim to restore the entire communication network, potentially slowing or reversing the coordinated decline that characterizes aging. Heart and cardiovascular system, cardiac extracellular vesicles, and organ damage. The heart is both a sender and receiver in inter-organ communication networks, and its signaling behavior has significant implications for understanding how cardiovascular disease affects other organs. In a 2022 study, Soumya Das at Harvard Medical School and his colleagues demonstrated that when the heart is damaged, it releases extracellular vesicles that travel through the bloodstream to the kidneys. These EVs carry harmful microRNAs, small RNA molecules that can alter gene expression in recipient cells, and they cause damage to kidney tissue upon arrival. This finding is clinically important because it helps explain a well-known but poorly understood phenomenon. Patients with heart failure frequently develop kidney disease, a condition sometimes referred to as cardiorenal syndrome. The discovery that damaged hearts actively send harmful molecular signals to the kidneys via EVs suggests that kidney damage in heart failure patients is not merely a secondary consequence of impaired circulation, but rather a direct result of pathological interorgan communication. This opens the door to potential therapies that could intercept these harmful EVs or block their damaging cargo, potentially protecting the kidneys in patients with cardiac disease. Liver metabolic liver disease and interorgan signaling. The liver is a major recipient of interorgan signals, and its health is increasingly understood to depend on communication networks involving other organs, particularly adipose tissue. As noted above, EVs released by fat tissue in obese individuals are emerging as an important factor in liver disease caused by metabolic dysfunction. These EVs can deliver molecular cargo that reprograms liver cells, promoting inflammatory responses and fibrotic changes that drive the progression of metabolic liver disease. This reframing of liver disease as a condition influenced by distant organ signaling, rather than solely by local factors like alcohol consumption or viral infection, represents a significant shift in how clinicians and researchers think about hepatic pathology. It suggests that effective treatment of certain forms of liver disease may require addressing the upstream sources of harmful signals, particularly in adipose tissue, rather than focusing exclusively on the liver itself. Kidneys, vulnerability to interorgan signaling. The kidneys serve as a critical example of how interorgan communication can contribute to organ damage and disease. As described in the work by Soumya Das, the kidneys are targets of harmful EVs released by the damaged heart. These EVs deliver microRNAs that cause damage to kidney tissue, contributing to the development of renal dysfunction in patients with cardiovascular disease. The kidneys' vulnerability to harmful interorgan signaling highlights a broader principle. Organs do not fail in isolation. When one organ is diseased or damaged, it can actively undermine the health of other organs through pathological signaling, creating cascading failures across multiple systems. Conversely, damaged kidneys release molecules that are toxic to the heart and promote heart failure. Understanding these interorgan damage pathways is essential for developing comprehensive treatment strategies that address not just the primary diseased organ, but also the secondary organs at risk from harmful crosstalk. Skeletal muscle, muscle as a communicating tissue. Skeletal muscle is now recognized as an organ that actively participates in interorgan communication. Muscles produce and release signaling molecules called myokines when they contract, and these myokines act on many other tissues, including the brain and liver. This discovery helps explain the well-documented systemic health benefits of exercise, which extend far beyond the musculoskeletal system to include improvements in cognitive function, metabolic regulation, and immune function. Skeletal muscle also communicates with the hypothalamus, contributing to the brain's ability to monitor and coordinate whole-body metabolism. The muscle-to-brain signaling pathway is one of the multiple independent but synergistic communication channels that EMI's group has been studying in the context of aging and longevity. Muscle wasting and chronic disease. Interorgan communication research is beginning to yield therapeutic insights for conditions involving muscle wasting. For instance, researchers are investigating how metabolites associated with chronic kidney disease and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, can reprogram immune cells, which then promote muscle wasting. This represents a clear example of interorgan crosstalk gone wrong. Metabolic signals from diseased kidneys or lungs alter immune cell behavior, and these reprogrammed immune cells then attack and degrade muscle tissue. Understanding this signaling chain could lead to interventions that break the cycle and preserve muscle mass in patients with chronic diseases. Small intestine and gut-to-brain communication. The small intestine is another organ that communicates with the hypothalamus, contributing to the brain's integration of signals from across the body. While the article does not detail the specific molecules involved in gut-to-brain signaling, it notes that this pathway is among those being actively studied by EMI's group. The gut-brain axis has been a subject of intense research interest in recent years, and its inclusion in the inter-organ communication framework adds another layer to our understanding of how digestive health influences systemic well-being, including aging. Immune system and senescent cells. Senescent cells and aging. A key factor in biological aging is the accumulation of senescent cells, which are cells that have stopped dividing but remain metabolically active. Rather than quietly retiring, senescent cells actively promote inflammation and tissue damage through a collection of secreted factors known as the senescence-associated secretory phenotype, SASP. Among the components of the SASP are extracellular vesicles, and these EVs play a pivotal role in spreading the effects of cellular senescence throughout the body. Senescent cells release EVs that function, as the article describes, like sparks from a fire, spreading inflammation and damage from one tissue to another. This EV-mediated spread of senescent signals probably contributes to the multimorbidity of the elderly. The clinical observation that older people typically suffer from several chronic conditions simultaneously rather than just one. The interconnected nature of these conditions may reflect the body-wide dissemination of harmful signals via senescent cell-derived EVs. Immune evasion. Recent research has also revealed that EVs can undermine the immune surveillance response against diseased or dysfunctional cells. This finding suggests that senescent cells and potentially cancer cells may use EVs as a mechanism for evading immune detection, allowing them to persist and continue causing damage. Understanding how EVs interact with the immune system could lead to strategies for enhancing the body's ability to clear senescent cells and fight cancer. The spatial dimension. Why so many languages? Communication specificity. Organs do not rely on a single mode of communication. Instead, they employ a diverse array of signaling systems, including hormones, neurotransmitters, myokines, adipokines, metabolites, EVs, and direct nerve connections. The article raises the question of why so many different languages are needed and offers several possible explanations. One possibility is that the physical location of the communication matters. Different tissues may contain receptors for specific substances, and the spatial arrangement or geometry of these receptors can alter how they function. This spatial specificity means that the same signaling molecule may produce different effects depending on where in the body it is received. Irene Miguel Aliaga suggests that this spatial specificity is going to prove very important, adding a layer of information and nuance that is only beginning to be appreciated. Versatility and precision. Another reason for the multiplicity of communication systems may be that it offers greater versatility in targeting particular messages to particular tissues. Different types of EVs, for instance, appear to have different tropisms, meaning they tend to be taken up preferentially by certain cell types or organs. This selectivity allows the body to send tailored messages to specific targets without affecting bystander tissues, an essential capability for maintaining the complex coordination required to run a multicellular organism. Implications for the complexity of coordination. The existence of so many inter-organ languages highlights the staggering complexity of coordinating a collective of trillions of cells organized into dozens of distinct organ systems. While we do not yet fully understand why so many communication systems are needed, their existence suggests that the body's internal communication network is far richer and more sophisticated than previously appreciated. This complexity also means that disruptions in inter-organ communication, whether caused by disease, injury, or aging, can have cascading effects that are difficult to predict from studying any single organ in isolation. Conclusion. The emerging picture from inter-organ communication research is one of the body as a deeply interconnected collective in which every organ participates in ongoing conversations that maintain health, coordinate responses to injury, and regulate the pace of aging. Understanding these conversations in their full complexity, from the molecular details of EV cargo to the systemic architecture of brain organ signaling networks, represents one of the most exciting frontiers in biomedical science. As Chuan-Yi Li's four-decade journey from observing deer antlers to discovering whole-body regeneration signals illustrates, patient observation and cross-species insight can reveal principles of profound medical significance. Our organs, it turns out, have been carrying on rich conversations all along. We are only now learning to listen. Key takeaways. 1. Every organ is both a sender and a receiver in a body-wide signaling network that uses hormones, metabolites, myokines, adipokines, extracellular vesicles, and nerve signals, not just the nervous and endocrine systems. 2. Extracellular vesicles are a recently discovered communication channel that can spread both healing and harm, carrying microRNAs that alter gene expression in distant organs. 3. Bone, fat, and muscle are now recognized as endocrine organs whose secretions influence the brain, metabolism, and aging, reframing exercise and body composition as communication variables, not just fitness metrics. 4. Organs do not fail in isolation. Damaged hearts send pathological vesicles to kidneys, obese fat tissue drives liver fibrosis, and senescent cells broadcast inflammation body-wide, which helps explain why chronic diseases cluster. 5. Training one physiological system through biofeedback may improve the entire network, because inter-organ signals are synergistic, strengthening one conversation, e.g., heart-brain via HRV, can cascade benefits to the gut, immune system, and metabolic function.